Live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through purpose and passion. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Two ways you can get a hold of the show. YouTube, we are streaming live there. Enter any comments into the comment section. You're welcome to ask questions during the broadcast. We'll make sure to get to them at the end. Before any broadcast, you guys can always email me, Zach, at zachballinger.com, Z-A-C-K, and we'll make sure to ask those questions to the guest. Bullseye, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I guess the audience sees that you are dressed as Bullseye the Clown, and that is your career occupation. And so kind of tell us about your career. How did you get into this?
Well, actually, for quite a few years, I was a stand-up comic, so I traveled around for about 10 years doing stand-up comedy. But then I was missing kind of like the one-on-one personal element, you know. For me, there was no joy in performing for a bunch of drunk people at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I was searching for something a little different. And so I stopped doing stand-up for quite a while. And then my dad passed away in 2018. And he never traveled or never went anywhere and did anything. And so I had heard of Patch Adams from the movie Patch Adams with Robin Williams. And I knew he did what was called humanitarian clowning. And he would go from country to country and take clowns with them. And so I decided, oh, what the heck? I've never been to Russia. So I went to Russia with Patch Adams for 14 days. I had never clowned a lot in my life before other than, you know, what I was doing for stand-up. And so that's kind of how I fell right into it. I toured 14 straight days through Moscow and St. Petersburg. And when I saw the impact that one clown could have on a hospital or on some of the children in the hospitals or the orphanages, it was kind of like a life-transforming thing for me. And so that just became my passion. I knew when I came back from Russia that I would have to figure out a way to continue to do that once I got back.
What do you love about your job? You kind of talked about, you know, the children's aspect of it in entertainment, but what else do you love about it?
What I really love about it is it's really a one-on-one kind of thing, I feel. That's why you won't see me the kind of clown that does birthday parties. I don't do birthday parties because that's not where I feel that I fit in. Where I fit in is I do bullying seminars. So I was bullied as a kid. And so I feel really drawn to kind of the outcast, the people who feel like they're invisible, that people don't see them very much. And even when I was doing the tour with Patch Adams, you know, we would go into an orphanage and all the kids would rush over to us and they would all scream and cheer. And I would like peruse the perimeter of the room. And I always tried to find that one kid who was kind of not participating and who kind of felt a little outcast. And my job then became getting that little kid or person. And sometimes we went to a senior center, and so it was sometimes the seniors. And so I would find that one person who seemed to be the most despondent. And I thought that was my challenge, was to at least reach that one person in that time. So that's kind of why I do what I do. And making people happy one person at a time.
So, you know, I think this is such an important topic. I actually did a TED talk on bullying and the effects of teenage suicide. Talk to us about your seminars and how did you, so I guess this came back from something that you had in your past. You could make an impact on the world, but talk to us how you relate that to, do you mainly do children or do you do adults or kind of a mixture of both?
I do a mixture of both, and believe it or not, when I originally set out to do the bullying seminars, I never set out to do children, believe it or not, what I found was that for me anyway, when I was bullied, it was something that I kept inside, and I never really spoke about it, and honestly, it was never something I intended to really talk about, until I went on to that tour with Patch Adams, and what I realized when I was clowning is that not only did clowning help, you know, the people that I was interacting with, it helped me. I mean, I came back from that that trip, and you know, when you're a clown, and your main focus is to make people happy. So you're always happy, happy. You can't be happy and depressed at the same time. So I was carrying a lot of that bullying stuff with me whenever I went to Russia. But while I was there, and we were a clown 24 hours a day. We had our costumes on, and we did not take them off the entire time we were there. So they kind of smelled by the time we got back, but that's okay. But I was so focused on being happy for 14 straight days. When I got back, I kind of thought, you know what, you know, all that bullying stuff that I had, you know, all those people that I was resentful towards my whole life, that had just totally dissipated. It totally went away. And so I realized that, you know what, I think that I do the bullying for the people who were bullied and who want to get over it and who may have, maybe not have gotten over it ever since their childhood. So that was kind of my main focus when I first started doing the seminars, was I really wanted to do them for adults who, you know, there are some people who, when they're bullied, they become super, super successful to kind of, you know, say, ha ha, look what you did. You know, like Lady Gaga and Susan Boyle and people like that. But then there are millions and millions of people who take that, what's the word I'm looking for? Like that lack of self-confidence. They keep that their whole life. And so they never really amount to what they wanted to amount to. And so my job is to break them out of that and to try to get them to move from being here to going up here where they intended to be all along, but they were held back because of some beliefs they held from what the bullies had told them when they were little.
So amazing what work you're doing. A really noble calling. But, you know, I got to think, and, you know, for my audience out there, when I talk to college students, you know, I'd say not many people grow up and say, I want to be a clown. But they may grow up and say, I want to be in the entertainment industry, or I want to be an actor, or I want to be a singer. Lots of people have come on these shows and shared their career success. Bullseye, the problem is, I think a lot of times when students or young millennials will go to their parents and say, hey, I want to be a rapper, or hey, I want to be a clown. Did you meet any pushback from your family or your friends saying, you know, why not a financial advisor or something like that? And how do you overcome that?
Oh, my mom still says that. She really has no idea what I really do. What do you do for work? You know, can't you go to like Walmart and get a job? You know, like, this is my job. Like I said, right out of college, I knew I wanted to be an actor. I thought I was going to be like a serious actor. I was going to be, you know, Tom Cruise, and I was going to win the Academy Awards and all that stuff. And every role that I ever played in college was a comic role. So that was kind of what led me into the stand-up comedy. And that was, again, just kind of like the whole clowning thing. That was kind of like by accident. I didn't know anything about stand-up comedy. I bought the book and I read this book and I was like, okay. And it was telling me how to write a comedy act. And there was a phone number in the back for the author. And I contacted the author and I said, who are you? I don't even know if you're funny. And you wrote this book on comedy. So she said, yes, I'm funny. She says, I'm traveling to your area. So you're going to be my opening act for 3 shows. And that's how that's kind of how I started. I had to write the jokes out of the book. And, you know, so I guess I was kind of a go-getter, but at the same time, I was kind of stupid. but so that's kind of how I felt it. And yes, I mean, even when I did comedy, my you know, my parents were still like, you know, okay, so when are you going to get the job? You're traveling around doing all this stuff. I'm like, well, they pay me to do this stuff. Like, yeah, I know, but yeah, you got to get a real job. And so I did for a while. Like, as I mentioned, I did stand up for 10 years. And then I went into corporate America and I worked for a Fortune 500 company. And it was terrible. I had no fun doing it. And again, you want to talk about being bullied, that particular company, which is, you know, pretty well known. And I won't say it because I don't want to get too in trouble. So I did that for 3 years. And I said, okay, I've had enough of that. Let me go back and do something. And of course, it was while I was doing that job that my father had passed away. And so that kind of just led me right out of that and kind of back into comedy. And actually, I'm going back into stand-up, but I'm doing it as a clown. So it'll be a whole different ball of wax, I think, this time. And so I'm just trying to still juggle all of the aspects of entertainment. And I find that once you're in one, you can kind of dabble in other ones. And so I would say to anybody who, you know, don't worry about what your parents say. Follow your heart, because, you know, if you follow what your parents are going to say, you're going to have a job that you don't like. And a lot of people are in jobs right now that they don't like and they're not passionate about.
Yeah, that's it's great advice. And you know, you talked a little bit about your teenage years where you wanted to be an actor, but let's rewind and go back further and go back to elementary school. Was there a career you always dreamed of doing?
No, I guess I think that was it. I mean, I was always kind of the class clown, and I think that kind of the reason I became the class clown was because people would bully me and I would get stood in the corner a lot. And so, you know, instead of putting my nose in the corner, I pretended like I was on stage and I'd do jokes and make people laugh. And so the teachers learned really quickly not to put me in the corner because it just gave me a stage to perform on. And, but no, even ever since I was a kid, I mean, I watched stuff like, you know, like growing up in the 80s, like I was watching like Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell Sisters and things like that. And all those like singy, dancy type of shows. And I knew that I couldn't sing and I couldn't dance. So, but I could do comedy, you know, and that's what I learned really quickly is a lot of times when I was being bullied, I would whip out a zinger and it would kind of stun the bully. And they would kind of like, did he just say something bad about me? And by the time he was trying to decipher whether I said something good or bad, I was gone. So I think that was just kind of, as a kid, I guess I didn't realize that could be a job, you know, that you could be have a job and just be funny and figure out ways to make money being funny. But I really never thought of being, if I had a job, my mom was a CNA, so she worked at a hospital. And so I used to go into the hospital with her and I would play cards with some of the patients there and help pass ice water and stuff like that. So probably if I ever was going to get like a job, that probably would have been it. But I'm still kind of doing that now because I still go into nursing homes and, you know, orphanages and things like that and kind of do the same things that I would have done then, but just with a little different spin on it.
Yeah, the reason I ask the question, a lot of times, even professionals or whether you're in your entertainment, no matter what career, a lot of the times our childhood dreams are kind of behind us, but it's some things from those traits and our skills and our dream sets that our passion often derives from. And so it's just interesting how that perfectly aligns with that concept of the comedy as well as, you know, acting as well as entertainment. So I find that very fascinating. What's something difficult about your job? So, you know, if there was a kid maybe in high school watching this or something, they say, wow, he's got the coolest job ever. He gets to make people laugh, gets to dress up. But, you know, there's difficulties in every job. So what's some of the challenges that you may face?
Well, when we were in Russia, one of the challenges that we had, well, of course, there was that we didn't speak the English. We didn't speak Russian and they didn't speak English. So sometimes, depending on where you are, you have a language barrier. And so it basically becomes all physical. And with it being all physical, especially there, we were on basically 24 hours a day. And which is ironic because as a kid, whenever I was being bullied, I didn't want people to notice me. But at the same time, I was always being noticed because I was always standing in the corner doing stuff. And this was the same way. You know, I lived my whole life kind of going under the radar pretty much. And when I went to Russia and I was a clown, I mean, you see these 35 clowns getting off of a bus and going into the subway or they're, you know, going into a restaurant or the opera, were quite the spectacle. And so, and you may sound like, oh, that's really cool to be noticed. Well, not really, you know, not always, you know, there are times when you know, want to go unnoticed, but you know, when you're dressed like this and you look like this, it's kind of hard to walk into a restaurant or eat your dinner because everybody's watching you. And so you always feel like you have to kind of put on a show. I mean, even when we were eating, we were, you know, eating with our fingers and picking stuff up. I mean, you know, you just couldn't eat like a normal meal without being a spectacle. So I find is, even now, you know, I'll still go shopping sometimes and I'll wear this shopping. And, I guess I've gotten to a point where I don't realize I'm wearing it anymore. So sometimes when I'm not wearing my costumes, I will still find myself going into stores going, and then people really look at you strange when you're not dressed up and you're doing that. So,
I've never done that, so I don't know, but it does sound like what you mean basically for a lot of people is it's being out of the spotlight. You know, I talked to a professional football player and, you know, you know, when he was playing in the league, obviously people want his autograph. So, I mean, that sounds out there like really cool, but sometimes you want your own private time. So, you know, you got to balance that out. And certainly that can be difficult if you want to be alone or don't want the attention for even an hour, you're going to get it out in public like that. So,
right. Right. That's why I would not want to really do the humanitarian clowning. I would not want to do tour after tour after tour after tour and be in the costume 24 hours a day for, like, you know, an extended period of time. So, you know, you do a tour which might last, you know, 10 to 14 days. And then, you know, like, I think Patch Adams only does like one tour a month, I believe. And so that's about really all you want to do is maybe like a week or two a month, as far as that in depth. Now, like, if I go into a hospital or an orphanage here in the United States, I'm just in there for like a couple hours and then I can leave. And then I'm, you know, I get out of the costume and do all that. But yeah, that's what I would say. That was probably the most tricky part. And then, of course, creating a character. Now, this was not the character that I was whenever I was in Russia. I had a whole different outfit and a whole different. For some, it's developing the character is very, very difficult. People just think you just kind of fall into it and you don't. And if you're wondering where this accent is from, I actually am from Ohio. But with this accent, I think it was because I went to Russia. And so I kind of developed this kind of accent with this character. And I can't do this character without the accent. That's just one of those things. So, and that just became this part of this character. And so that's, and that was something that kind of was transforming while I was there, because you kept hearing all the Russians speak to you. And so you kept picking things up here and there. And that's just kind of how that happens. You know, you don't just walk right into being a comedian or a singer or a rapper or anything and already have everything all together from the first time you perform.
So I want to ask you one last question and then get to these questions that we had come in. And is a little off the career development side and more into the bullying, what you do. Would you talk to us out there if either A, somebody's being bullied, what should they do? And let's talk about it from two facets. If you're a student and you're an adult, because let's face it, it happens as an adult as well.
The very first thing, you know, everybody always tells you is to tell someone, you know, let somebody know. Although I do agree with letting somebody else know, that can or cannot be the solution. You know, just because you tell somebody doesn't mean that it's going to go away. And sometimes it doesn't go away. It actually gets worse. But I always documented everything. I always, every time somebody was mean to me, I would write it down and then I would take it to, whenever I was in school, I would take it to, like, I guess our guidance counselor. And nothing really ever transpired. So I kind of found my own ways of dealing with the bully. And as I mentioned, I took mine from a comic perspective. But the main thing is try to not put yourself in situations where that bully is going to be. If it's a work situation, then I make sure that I go a different direction and I kind of move in different circles than where the bully goes. I mean, I know sometimes you are going to encounter them. Even if you're at work, if it's a work situation, you can go to HR and you can tell HR, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to end. So I'm working on trying to get companies to come up with what's called a bully-proof blueprint, which means, okay, so if you're being bullied at this particular level of the company, who do you go to? And then make the next person be the one who's responsible for taking care of the situation. Well, what ends up happening a lot of times is you tell, like, your boss, and your boss is friends with the person who's bullying you, so nothing really happens. So it's always having that backup plan. I always had a black backup plan. So if my guidance counselor didn't do anything, I would go to the principal. If the principal didn't do anything, I'd tell the principal I'm going to go to the news. You tell somebody you're going to go to the news, they get something done. But I always try to avoid the situations if I can. I also had an alcoholic stepfather, and so I always kind of devised games and stuff I could play to kind of outmaneuver him. So I'm actually working on a book, and the book that I have is called basically How to Survive a Bully. And it's really written from the bullied person's perspective and not from the bully. It's more of what you can do yourself to kind of get yourself out of those situations.
Awesome. Thank you for the advice. It's definitely a big problem. across, and it's not gotten any better when you think about different things. I think a lot of times adults telling their stories to their children can also play an impact, and well as creating schools that have cultures that have a no bullying pledge. I've seen it done by a guy by the name of Nick Boyachich, who was born without any legs or arms, who's been going around and having people sign a pledge at schools that it won't be tolerated. And I think at an administrative level as well in the United States, there's legislation on the books in 50 states where it's actually illegal to do it. And so, you know, is there a legislative path there as well? So I think there's many different ways you can and confront it. You know, and I'm big on, I'm more of the confrontation person. I don't like bullies, never have. And so I would talk to many as people as possible that could help you in your situation. I guarantee you there's an army out there like us who don't like bullies. Let's jump into these questions and help these students. So the first student says, I've kind of dreamed about being a stand-up comedian. How do I get started? What would you recommend?
Well, how I got started was I bought a book. It was called Stand Up Comedy, the book, written by Judy Carter. And it goes through how to write a stand-up comedy act. And she gives you like all these different premises and things. And then she kind of improved on that. Now she has a book out that's called The Comedy Bible. And it's kind of the same thing. That was me the first. And in the book, she also gives you advice on how to contact bookers. Now it's a little different. It used to be back then you created a videotape and you sent these videotapes and pictures and stuff out to comedy clubs. Now everything's done online. So that's kind of nice. You can just kind of have like a little electronic press kit. Go to open mics, and then in the back of the stand-up comedy, the book, she listed all the comedy clubs, because I don't know how up-to-date that is now, but they listed all the comedy clubs, all the places that had open mics, and just start going to open mics. And it doesn't, believe me, you're probably going to stink the first few times you do it. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know, you think that you're brilliant, and you walk on stage, and people look at you like, you know, you have four heads, you know. But my advice would be to do it, you know, buy the book. Like I said, those are two books that I know go through how to write an act. So that's the first thing. And the first thing is trying to get your first 5 minutes. And then when you get that 5 minute chunk that really kind of works, then you start working on like another 5 little minute chunk. And then you slowly put those 5 minute chunks together. And before you know it, you have, you know, an hour's worth of stuff. But believe me, 5 minutes of jokes is probably going to be about 100 to 125 jokes, you know, you've worked through, and some of them you'll write a couple times. And I always say, try it 3 times. If all 3 times nobody laughs that you do it, probably take it out of your act. If they laugh once and then they don't laugh the next time, always record it. That's always another thing, is if you record it, at least if they laugh, you know how you said it when you did it, because maybe it was a facial expression that you did, or maybe it was the inflection that you have when you said it. It's really weird, and you know, every audience is different, but that's how I would start, by getting that book.
The next question comes in is, have you ever been on stage and nobody laughs at your jokes?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that happens. I mean, you know, and again, the funny thing is, you could be at the same comedy club. I was at the same comedy club, and usually you're booked for like a week. And so, you know, I've done usually 2 shows a night, and you know, one show you can go on and everybody laughs, and you go on the next time. And like I said, they look at you like, you know, you speak a different language. And yet that's going to happen. And so, you know, what I slowly started to do is I would write jokes that I kind of had in my back pocket that, okay, if they don't laugh at this joke, then I can say this in response to that. I mean, it's really kind of writing two acts, because you're writing one act that you really want to present to the public. And then if they don't laugh at those jokes, then I would throw like little zingers and, you know, well, I got another joke you might not care for. And then, you know, and then launch right into something else. And there's going to be times, believe me, even now. I mean, you know, I'm actually going to do a live stand-up show on the 19th of March. And I haven't done it as a clown yet, so this will be my first one as a clown, and I don't know what I'm going to get. So I might get laughs, I may get dead silence. So the good news is I'm videotaping it, and I can always dub the laughs in. So
That's great. The next question comes in. It says, what route did you go after high school? Did you go to college or any classes or anything like that?
Yeah, after high school, I did. I went to a college. I went to Ashland University in Ashland, Ohio. I went into theater. So that was the route I took. I was a theater major and a communications major. And then after college, I was lucky enough, I auditioned for, it was a traveling show. It was called Mr. Wizard Supermarket Science. And I would go into schools and I would do like the science program, and they had like little explosions and how to make smoke in a bottle and all these things. And that's kind of how I started. While I was on that tour, somebody mentioned stand-up. And so I was kind of dabbling with the stand-up comedy at that time. And so that's kind of how I started with college, though.
Awesome. Thanks. And where can people find you? So first, you know, from, let's say they're a user, they just want to connect. Maybe they want to laugh. Maybe they're interested in this anti-bullying message. Where can they find you for that? And then also, you know, if people are out there, maybe somebody's out there hosting an event, they want you at it, or, you know, they want you to come in and talk about the bullying side of things. Where's the best site? Website, social media?
Yeah, as far as bullying goes, I do have a YouTube show on bullying called Bullseye on Bullying. So you can just go to YouTube, and you know, right now I don't have 100 users or 100 subscribers, so I'm trying to get that so I can have my own my own URL. But right now, just go to YouTube and you can search Bullseye on Bullying. That'll pop up all my bullying videos. As far as other things, bullseyetheclown.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Bullseye the Clown. Make sure you pick the right one, because there's actually two Bullseye the Clowns on there. The other one's kind of scary looking, but I'm the cute one. I also have Twitter at Bullseye the Clown, Instagram at Bullseye the Clown. So I'm pretty much on everything. I have only like a 2 or 3 TikTok videos. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you never know what people are gonna like on TikTok. I've done like 2 or 3 videos, and the one they like the most is just me putting on my makeup. So I don't get it. So.
Often we never do. We never do. So, well, you know, this has been great. I think it's so good to have folks on like you. We know you're very busy, working a pretty tough schedule. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing a little bit of inspiration behind your career, the history behind it, and your passion. We really do appreciate you giving back.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yep. And have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.